This is an Enterprise Times podcast. I'm here with Maya Lukos, Head of People Analytics at Capgemini. Maya, hello.
Hello, Steve.
You recently completed a pilot project that implemented employee listening at Capgemini. Can you tell me what exactly do you mean by employee listening?
But what we mean by employee listening is understanding the voice of our people and what they want to tell us, how they feel about their experience at work and how we can change it for the better. Previously, we did annual survey to understand how people feel about work and their experience at work. And we wanted to do it more frequently, so in a more agile way, to understand in real time what is important to our people, what matters, and how we can impact it in a positive way for them. So to have that sort of ongoing dialogue with everybody in the organization as much as possible to understand how we can change things.
You talk about dialogue there, so clearly it isn't just about listening then. That infers a two-way conversation, so just can you clarify on that?
As we started, because like you mentioned at the beginning, it's a pilot project, so when we started we thought it was listening, and we're going to listen, so we're going to ask questions to our people, and they're going to respond to us through the technology-enabled solution. We implemented the platform through which we can ask the questions and people can respond to us as frequently as they wish to. The questions were sent to them weekly, sometimes bi-weekly, sometimes monthly, depending on the pilot. We fully empowered our pilot areas to adopt this platform as they thought was the best for them. And about the dialogue piece, so we ask the question, people respond, but actually within the platform, you can write back to people, or you can respond to them, continuing the conversation whilst they still remain anonymous, but you don't. So if I'm the manager of, let's say, 100 people, someone can write a comment that I think is very interesting and I would like to follow up on this comment, whereas previously, or in a traditional survey, you don't have ability to do that because it's just a comment you receive and that's where the conversation ends. So there is no dialogue. Whereas here, you can actually pick up that comment, write back to people, and if they wish to respond to you, then they will.
This was driven by the managers within the pilot rather than an HR-led piece?
It was both, but it's a very interesting question you ask here, because this has been very transformational for the role of both manager and HR in this process, so that the HR is no longer a middleman between people and managers to say, bringing the insights from the survey saying, look, this is what your people said. What they actually do is they also take part in the conversation, but they enable managers more to have that conversation directly with their people. In our environment in Capgemini, we're a professional services organization where our people are very remote and don't see each other a lot, don't see their managers. You know, obviously, because you know professional services very well. The ability to have that secure platform where you can be really authentic but still maintain a dialogue and talk to your people is quite critical, we've noticed, for the relationship and for understanding how managers can improve their people's experience. And HR is still there. Their role was more about keeping the momentum behind the project and making sure that it's facilitated, it's communicated, the adoption is progressing right. But the role of that person in the middle, look what your people told you, that doesn't exist anymore, which is great, we find.
What was the platform you used?
We work with Peakon.
You talked about adoption. What were the challenges to adoption and how did you overcome them?
The first challenge is everyone gets excited, so that's great. And you think, wow, that's just going to be a breeze. The first, I think, hurdle that we overcome is we post the first survey. First questions start coming out. People start responding to them. Everybody gets hit with a volume of insight. And it's great because you post survey in the morning and in the afternoon, you already know answers to your questions and additional things people want to tell you. That's great. But then you realize that once you go real time with asking people about their experience, you have to take part in this process real time as well. So you can't sustain the behavior you had previously when you did annual survey or however you post surveys before, where you have time to sit back, read your results, reflect on them, think a little bit, compose an output and then post it to people. You're actually in there having a conversation with people. So that was the first challenge that we had to say to everybody, managers, HR, everybody else, you have to start going back to people real time as well. Not that people expect that you take action straight away, but people expect that you will tell them that you're listening, that you're taking part in that conversation. That's all they need to know. And we also noticed that the transparency around sharing the results straight away because we have ability to do that very high level or very detailed depending on the audience. The ability for us to do that also generated much better adoption in some pilots. So some pilots got better adoption and some got there later.
Active listening is key, really, in this engagement cycle in a digital platform, which is interesting because it's key on when you're talking to people as well. You talked about pulse surveys and annual surveys, and you talked about doing surveys within this pilot, but how big were those surveys? Because a lot of people tend to get survey tired if surveys become too long. So did you find there was an optimum number of questions?
Different pilots were adopted in a different way, but we had a range between maybe 15 and 45 questions in a bank. So the bank of questions is just the starting point. And then you decide on your frequency. On the back of that frequency, we will calculate how many questions people will get per round. If you do it frequently, obviously you get a couple of questions. So as an HR organization, for example, one of the pilots was the entire HR organization in Capgemini. And we went for a frequent survey, a weekly one, and I would get a couple, sometimes three questions on every round. So for me to do it is really a very quick exercise. Sometimes I might have a bit more to say, so obviously I will do. But then if I go for a big bank of questions and a frequency is, let's say, monthly or biweekly, then obviously, yes, you will get more questions. And I think you have to challenge yourself a little bit. Is this agile listening? Are you caring about your employee experience here in that situation? Because you're quite frankly right. People can get tired of answering long surveys.
Did you use any other methods in terms of the employee listening in this project at all? Because surveys is not the only way in which you can listen to employees.
Of course it's not. We're trying to formulate a point of view at the moment when it comes to broader employee listening. So yes, there are other platforms that you can do. You've got your internal platforms and external platforms that you can understand what people say. For me, the main thing is where people can be authentic. This year, I've been challenging quite a lot about the data sources that we're using, because at the end of the day, a platform like that is yet another data source. It's fantastic because it allows people to express themselves in a natural language as well, when we do text analytics on that language, which is the best way in my experience so far when it comes to analyzing data to understand really the why, as we call it in Capgemini. But when it comes to external, you know, are we authentic on external platforms when we talk about work? Would I slag off my boss on Twitter? No. But my energy provider? Yes. So I think we need to be careful when we talk, when we look at the sentiment and how people feel about their experience with the world of work. When we look at external platforms, Glassdoor, again, yes, great source. But is it adopted in your organization? Are you there? Are people using it? So I think these are the things I am thinking through right now when it comes to expanding our employee listening to other sources, like social platforms internally in Capgemini or other external sources.
Did you use sentiment analysis?
We do, yeah, but not within that technology. It does some text analytics, which is great and fully fit for purpose. But we can also extract comments and do, in a different technology, we do additional text analysis, which is just purely NLP technology.
And single language or multiple languages?
Google Translate from other languages than English, and then the actual analysis is done in English.
Did you find any cultural difference between different regions and countries?
Generating adoption in Asian countries has been more difficult, that's for sure. In terms of results, yes, very different. So we have very happy people in South America, for example. If you calibrate, if you read any of the research, always points that there'll be people happier there in general. So when you look at engagement scores, they'll be more positive about certain things. Whereas in ENPS in the UK, when you talk about ENPS, 9 and 10 is promoted, people almost object to it, because would we ever, ever give a 9 and 10? Of course not, because we know 8 is like brilliant. When you try to drive consistency, obviously we had conversations about this in our UK pilots, for example, in particular, about, you know, could we do 8 as a promoter? Well, that is a global metrics net promoter score. That's not just HR. Actually, HR adopted it way later than it was invented. We can't change it because it's like changing the definition of revenue or profit. Well, you can't do it. There are differences between countries and geographies that are very clear in the data. One thing that I always emphasize when I talk to the HR organization about the results is that what I see and my team sees for the 10,000 people, however many people we have in the platform, is one thing. But the context of the analysis that you do is the biggest insight you already have before you even start looking at the data, which I don't have. So the local context to what's happening in this particular team, in this country, on this project, legislation, things that I might find quite often a center of expertise analytics will find something, they think they found gold somewhere, and then they go locally to tell people, and people say, well, we know that anyway because of X, Y, and Z. And this is no surprise, it's something they know already. So I think we have to be very conscious of that context and local, geographical, national, etc., whatever it is.
The simple answer, and it would be too simple, I think, is to kind of apply Hofstede scores against the data you have. But it sounds like the localization issues are very localized and maybe almost political, economic, legal type influence on those responses at that given point in time as well.
Absolutely. Speaking about, you know, who should have access to results and who should be looking and having dialogue with people, of course it's both HR and managers, and you need to define the right level of managers, but they can only really understand it in their own context and give the right answers and influence it in the right way and make that change. I don't think you can manage it from the center.
One of the things you mentioned earlier was around how managers engage with their employees, but I assume that's not a one level up manager, because they could probably identify who the employee is, because it's difficult to anonymize data when you've got a team of 3 or 5. So how many levels up did you go, and what kind of team bases did the manager normally interact with in terms of volume of team?
Because it's a pilot phase and we allow different adoption scenarios here. So some pilots went for as little as 6 responses for the managers. So you might have a bigger team, but you need to, or might have 6 people have 6, but you need to make sure you get 6 responses. The design of the platform is such that you cannot drill into the detail. You cannot obviously select by attributes like gender or employee level or the job title, etc., exactly for the purpose you just described. So you cannot identify an individual. That's the key thing for us, to make sure that the individual is protected and can be authentic there. You see the full response, but you cannot segregate it. So for example, if I'm a manager, I can see responses from my team, both structured and unstructured data, but obviously I do not know who they are.
I would argue if I have a small team, I would know who those respondents are by the language they use. A good manager should know who they are.
I think it's an interesting point of view. Our pilots have gone for, like I said, for different adoptions. So there was one pilot that went for a very small groups of people being able to respond. There's both sides to it, and I think you need to balance it a little bit. We are not going to go for that low anyway in the bigger solution, because obviously we thought it was too low. We call it anonymity threshold. We need to increase it to what our standard is, 10 in Capgemini. But you will probably still argue if you've got 10, you would know. When you think about bias at work, and you're a manager and you know your people very well, and even if you're a very good manager, you probably have an ear for some opinions more than others. And when people start giving you ideas or solutions to problems or to how we work, there's nothing you can do about it. We all biased. You will probably listen to some people more and some people less. Whereas if you don't know where the ideas are coming from, because not equally everyone will respond, not everyone will provide free text, because some people maybe just not to do it, or maybe not do it this week, maybe do it some other week. The identification might not be as easy as we think it could be, because we don't really communicate with our people in de-anonymized way. You always get an email from Maya, you know Maya wrote that email, and then there's my text. So instantly you can recognize that this is my kind of language.
In the pilot, what insights have you drawn, and subsequently what actions have you then taken?
We've been running pilots since September last year, 6 months. Very different insights from different pilots. I think the biggest discovery, I would say, for us was across all of the pilots, so there were diverse areas of Capgemini. What we've noticed in the analysis piece is that some managers have very highly engaged teams, also very high ENPS score, Employee Net Promoter Score. We started thinking, what makes these teams so engaged? Do they have anything in common? And what we've discovered is that there's 4 things consistently throughout the entire data set that people would score very highly that will create this cluster of very engaged team pointing to a manager. So they wouldn't have anything else in common but that particular manager. And they were effectively clear on their goals. So they knew what was expected of them at work every day. They had opportunity to do challenging things at work. They were getting support from their manager, and they were free to express their opinions at work. And they felt they count as well. So there were 4 things consistently throughout the entire data set you can draw a conclusion, obviously it requires some further analysis, that these are the four things that make a great manager, who's clear about what am I supposed to do, who's offering me some challenging work, who's supporting me in this, and also I'm free to express my opinions and they matter.
That feedback correlates, I think, quite closely to high-performing teams research. Have you actually matched your employee net promoter score to whether those teams are also high-performing teams as well?
We haven't yet, no. It's very early days. So we've only, like I said, 6 months into the pilot, but we will definitely do more analysis on this because it just shapes up to be such a fantastic data source for other type of research that you can then start correlating exactly. What's the impact of those teams actually on our business?
Was there anything surprising that came out of the insights and analytics?
The thing we've never seen before is the power of the micro actions, as we call it now. Because usually it's the little things that need addressing at work. And I think the managers had no idea about these things before because they can't have that dialogue with people on an ongoing basis. So I think that's been quite powerful for us. One of our managers was reading the comments 1 week and realized he's got some concerns on a certain project, so he could change his schedule for the following week and go and talk to people there. He would have no clue about this otherwise, or maybe he would find out when it was amber status on the delivery report, whereas he could prevent that from happening because he did listen to people. So I think it's quite empowering for them.
Where you've got engagement within this process, are you seeing improved EMPS scores as well, or is it too early days for that?
It's too early days, I think. Yeah, we see improving engagement score, but I'm quite sceptical calling that an improvement just yet because of what we're doing. It's too early.
And what kind of analytics are you applying to the data at the moment?
There's data analytics within the platform. We analyze the impact of, we call them the drivers. There's clusters of questions that sit under certain areas, I would say, of an employee experience. We analyze them, the scores on a scale from 1 to 10, and impact of that on employee engagement. That is happening within the actual technology. You can see whatever changes would have the biggest impact on your employee engagement. It's a really nice representation of that, showing sort of two dots overlapping. You can see whether there's a bigger overlap, means there's a higher correlation, there's a smaller overlap, means there's less correlation between this particular area, let's say growth and engagement. And it would obviously explain exactly what it means. We don't currently do analysis on ENPS score. We just calculate it and color code everything on the dashboard based on ENPS. So comments are color coded like that. We also look at highest engaged teams or clusters of data. We use heat map to represent the data, more so for leadership teams, your sort of higher level management boards, so that can see the entire organization in one snapshot. We do some text analytics, pulling themes from the data. And obviously you can interrogate that data dynamically in the dashboard by business area, by different employee attributes, as long as you don't go beyond the anonymity threshold.
I assume you're doing it in terms of you've got the managers engaging with their own data, and then you at a high level with an HR are looking across the field, the entirety of the data set.
Depends exactly on what kind of access people have and what is the business area that they're working with.
One of the things about people listening is that it's great doing people listening, but you then need to have actions out of that, and you need to have accountability out of those actions. And how are you mapping across to that at the moment?
Within the platform, when you're a manager, and let's say I see that by one of the areas I'm not doing very well at communications with my team. They don't really know what's going on. So I can click on this. It will give me a suggestion of what I can do about this straight away. So it says, Maya, you're not doing great on this. Here's some ideas you can do. How about you include this, this, and this in your next team cascade, and et cetera. So it suggests you some actions. You might create another one. It's your idea. You can log it in the platform. You can make it visible to everybody, which helps accountability as well. If I log in my action, that I will run a weekly call with my team, or I'm going to include this in whatever cascade I do as a manager, then it's visible to everybody. And then I can obviously observe if that particular score is changing on the back of the action that I have logged. And obviously there's always something that will come up, so I can put this one to bed and start with another one. Then obviously from the enterprise point of view, I can have the visibility of how many actions I have in the platform going on right now from the micro to macro level.
Thank you very much, Maya.
You're very welcome, Steve. It's been a pleasure.